your tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone. Step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. All right. So a neutron walks into a bar and he goes up to the bartender. He says, "How much for a beer?" And the bartender says, "For you, man, no charge." All right. Whatever. All right. So I'm a recovered alcoholic. Thank you. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Ryan. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that will distract others. And this is the time to get connected to God's and let the craziness of the day drift away, to ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight, to open up your mind and open up your heart. And some things that I learned is that you could breathe in God and breathe out self. So if everybody's ready, we're going to start the meditation.
Thank you.
We're going to do the fog light prayer. If you don't know it, it's up here on the screens. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost can find your love through me. Amen. There's a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news that this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked Alex to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Recovered alcoholic? Yes. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means a rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the differences long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself. What often takes place in a few months could have seldom been accomplished by many years of self-discipline. With a few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thank you. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. And this is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode or just turn them off. And tonight we have Marion doing her seventh session of this series. I'm lucky to be able to say that Marion's one of my teachers in this program. I've definitely learned a lot from her, and I'm super blessed and super grateful that she's helping me to transform my recovery into something that I didn't know that it could be. So I'm hoping that that everybody pays attention, because she can definitely do that for you too. So I'm gonna bring up Marion. That's for you.
All right. A kit of spiritual tools laid at your feet. I think I've said that to you guys before, that my home group for 20 years, Northwest Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, it was like I would share and they'd throw a box of Kleenex across the room to me. And I'm Marion, I'm a recovered alcoholic. And they do that because, there were some sad times and hard times to go through, but, in all these years of sobriety, I just still feel like I just pinch myself and I can't believe it's my life. And I don't know. Old timers used to say, with an attitude of gratitude, you can stay sober. And, in that life of gratitude, of just being able to take a sober breath and being able to you know, have words like that said about you, and to be of service to God and to others is just, it's a life not to be missed. And if you're new to the program and that's tough to grasp, just grab somebody's hand and follow them. You know, that's what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, there's no, hey, that one's the leader, follow them. You know, we get to be leaders and we get to be old timers, and you get to be an old timer because you just don't die and you stay sober and things like that. And I always, you know, I would soak that up in the rooms. I would just sit and I would look into their eyes and I would just dream like someday I want to be that. And, you know, great life's ambitions. I never wanted to, you know, being sober is the greatest thing that God's ever done in my life. Because from that place, I get to experience this life of abundance. I get to experience this life of giving instead of getting. I get to experience, you know, the light going on in people's eyes and you know, seeing, putting, helping put their hand in God's hand. And wow, just like people did for me, you know, passing it on, like my sponsor says, for fun and for free. You know, wow. How amazing is that? And that we come here so broken and so ripped up and torn up and hopeless, and that we can be given a life far beyond anything we could have ever imagined. It's like, and how do we do it? Because we screwed our lives up so bad, and we found a bunch of other people that screwed up their lives bad. And somehow we come together in this place, Alcoholics Anonymous, from every race, from every creed, from every color, from every walk of life, and that we can come together in unity for one primary purpose, to stay sober and to help somebody else. And that's not how we came in here, you know. That's not how I came in here. I came here to get and I stay to give. And I can tell you my phone rings and it rings and sometimes I don't want to answer and it's late or it's this or it's that, but every single solitary time I pick up that phone, I either have the opportunity to get out of my own stuff or I get to be able to help somebody else, you know, grow a little bit stronger. And I had one of those days yesterday, and I've got a room with a bunch of sponsees here that look to me for guidance, and sometimes that scares the ever-loving poo-poo out of me. You know, it's like, and I'll look at them and I'll tell them that. I mean, I had a conversation with one of them the other day. It's like, this scares the crap out of me. You know, this scares me. It's hard. But the deal is, that's what our life is about. It's 100 forms of fear and self-delusion and self. Like, how can I be of helpful? How can I be of service to someone else? That's only through God's grace. That's only through God's mercy. That's only through the people that have taught it and passed it on to me. You know, what a beautiful thing to be a part of. You know, so it feels like AA soapbox. Oh, well, it's my box. I'm standing on it, you know? And, and it's just a miraculous thing to be a part of and to stay out of our way. And, you know, tonight's session 7, and that's all what this is about. You know, it's about humility and it's about, you know, getting out of the way and being of maximum service to God and to his fellows, and all those forms of self that we're so locked into. You know, this isn't, you know, if you're brand new to AA, not to scare you, but this might scare you. I mean, the only thing that's got to change is everything. And the longer you're around here, the more you know that the only thing that's got to change is everything. Anything I try to hold on to in and of myself, I'm in trouble. You know, it's a day I'm doing a talk tonight, and that's always a lot of God reflection. Where am I at? I'm on step 7. And of course, God just like always bubbles up to the surface with these things I can look at, you know, because, you know, I love that the book says we're not saints. We're not saints. We're not saints. You know, we can have days that feel like that. We can have moments that feel like that. We can have encounters with another person going through the book where you feel like, wow, does it get any better than this? But, you know, we're all going to fall short of that mark. We're all going to fall short of that mark sometimes. And, you know, when I first came in the rooms of AA, and I mean, I was Pink Cloud Rider. I rode that cloud like, woo, you know, like, here we go. I'm sober and life is good and it feels so good. Like my old friend Russ used to say, it feels good to feel good. You know, it feels good to feel good. What? You know, it feels good to feel good and to be able to pass that on to other people. And so I'd come with on that pink cloud and in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would come in and, you know, my little Northwest group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is a place of rigorous honesty. You know, it's a place of hope and faith and love and all this stuff, you know. And I was like, yes, I found my tribe, you know. And what I would find is like there was old timers or people that would fall short of that stuff. There'd be like, you know, the 13th stepper, and there would be like somebody gossiping in the corner, or there would be somebody telling a little lie, and or there'd be things like that. And my sponsor would just tell me, Marion, we're not exactly the breeding ground for well people, you know. And then I'd get caught up in that stuff, and I'd have those behaviors, and then I would take myself seriously, and then I would beat myself up, and, you know, and she'd say, Mary, nobody beats you up better than you do, and things like that, you know. So what step seven practices, and, you know, I talked about this a little bit last week, is, you know, this is our first step for life. You know, this is how I'm going out to face the world. You know, if I'm going out there with all this crud on me, you know, my friend Jack, I mean, I will talk about Northwest Group because it was my foundation, you know, but my friend Jack, he was the guy that used to say, you know, when you made up a saying or whatever, he'd say, you know, I'm going to use it three times. I'll give you credit three times, but after that, it's mine, you know. And one of the things I always said was that, and maybe I stole from somebody, I don't remember, but, you know, you're as sober as you are at home. I'm as sober as I am at home. That doesn't mean not a drink. That doesn't mean not a drug. It means, what am I doing when I'm not sitting in these rooms, when I'm not working with the sponsee, when I'm at Publix, when I'm at Safeway, when I'm at the Floridian, or when I'm at, you know, when I'm at in Paris. I haven't been to Paris, but I'm going to just say that because I'm wishful thinking. You know, where am I going and how am I acting to my fellow man? You know, I'm sorry, but if you're here and you're in recovery and you're in treatment or whatever it is, and you're doing the same old behaviors, and you're calling mom and dad and saying, telling your mom off, and you're flipping the bird to the guy going down the street, and you're running into the old lady and not holding the door for her at the grocery store, that's not very sober. You know, I mean, but this isn't a spanking, so I don't mean it like that. What I mean is every single solitary day we will fall short. We will fall short of these ideals. And so when I'm taking that seventh step prayer into my life, a lot of, like with my sponsees, and one of the things that I practice in my life is when I'm saying that prayer, I'll put that defect, whatever I'm dealing with, that's really, you know, boiling up and bubbling up for me, I'll put it right in the seven-step prayer. My Creator, I'm now willing that you have all of me, good and bad. I pray you now remove from me fear, anxiety, selfishness, anger, and the rest of the prayer, because I'm going to botch it. But you know what I mean? It's like I'll just have them just, you know, that's just a thing that I do. And because here's the deal, you know, I can get caught up in that stuff and I can't see it. Just like my sponsees can't see it, I can't see those things a lot of times. You know, our big book talks about solitary self-appraisal seldom suffices, and I probably bought that too, but it's close, you know. And the deal is I can't examine my own mind, and I can't examine my own character defects. I need to be accountable to other people that can help me with that stuff. When I'm walking in fear, and when I'm walking in jealousy, or I'm walking in something like that, I need somebody else to be accountable to. That's what this experience is about. Those, you know, especially when you become, you know, you're a sponsor, you're scared crapless, you know, and blah, 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 and you're helping all these people. I need my people that I can go to. I need my shoulder to shoulders. I need the women that can help me and the men that can help me to stay strong. And say, Marion, maybe you want to take a look at that. You know, I had a phone call today of something I needed to take a look at. And thank God, because, you know, the deal was I was seeing it completely different. I was seeing it completely different. I was defensive. I wasn't looking at me. I was looking at how this little situation offended me. And man, my squirt gun, my water gun was loaded. Yeah, because I believe in water pistols for fighting. You know? I mean, it was loaded, and I'm like, both barrels, and what about this offense that happened to me, and you know, self-righteous, weird stuff that can just twist us up. That can just twist us up in a second. And within 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes of this phone call, the person was able to just, because my sponsor wasn't available at the moment, so who's my next go-to? Boom, went there. You know, hey, maybe, well, aren't we, within 2 minutes, was like, well, I can tell you exactly where you're at fault. Holy cow. And guess what? I can tell you exactly where you're at fault. That's what gives us the freedom. When somebody else can point out where I'm wrong. You know, this step, all the steps are about humility, but step 7 is, that's what it is, man. Level me. Where am I wrong? Please show me where I'm wrong. Because that's the only place where that situation's gonna get any better. You know, the ability, I'm here. I am here. And I know, I'm a 58-year container of life on this earth, you know? I'm a 28-year container of sobriety and doing things wrong and doing things half, not all the effort, half butted, you know, whatever. You know, I'm that girl. I haven't always done it right. But when, man, you guys, there was this Pastor Phil from Abundant Life Church in Bellingham, and he says, would you rather be right or do you want to be on the couch? You know, it's like, do I need to go around being self-righteous and being right? And what, had I not have gotten to that person and had I not have looked at that character defect, which is step 7, this isn't just about inventory, all of it's about the leveling of my pride. All of it's about where am I playing God in my life? Where am I playing God? You should be doing this. You should be doing that. This is the way it should look in, you know, in the world and on Facebook and in politics and in religion and all these things that we can get caught up in. And it's like, and I'm disturbed when I'm there. I'm disturbed. And you know what? When we're alcoholics, when it talks on page 52 of our bedevilments, when I'm living in a place of those bedevilments and I'm living in a place of, you know, all those things that it says in there, now I'm blank again, but okay. So when I'm living in that place, I'm wearing, you know, the Bible talks about wearing the world like a loose garment. How free do I want to be? When I'm living in that place, you guys, I'm not free. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to walk in this room. And, you know, Peter is describing this friend of his that used to walk into the meeting. Well, I don't remember what his name was. It's the funniest story about this dude. He was just happy, joyous, and free. And he'd walk in, and everybody in the meeting's like all serious, you know. And he'd walk in and just look at him and roll his eyes like, come on, lighten up, man. You know, And that's the deal. Like, I've tasted freedom. I've tasted what it feels like to have these defects of character removed for brief periods. It's not like it's always gone. There's some that, yeah, they were removed by God. Yeah, they sure as heck were. And thank God for that. And there's some that are there that I have to deal with on a semi-regular basis, you know, with people that really, really know me, you know. But where does that turn me? That turns me right back to God. You know, I can't go, Marion, don't be envious, don't be envious, don't be envious, don't be envious. Marion, stop being envious. You know, I can't go, Marion, don't be jealous. Marion, don't be jealous. Marion, don't be jealous. Marion, don't be afraid. Marion, don't be afraid. Marion, don't be afraid. Marion, don't be angry. Marion, don't be angry. Marion, don't be angry. I can't do that. I have no power. I have no power. Look at it this way. It's like, you know, there's not a person in this room right now who is sober anything in this chair. I believe, my opinion, and you can shoot it down if you want to after the meeting, but I don't believe there's one person, if you're an alcoholic like me, that is sober anything in this room beyond the grace and mercy of a loving God. Period. End of story. That's my opinion, and I can say my opinion from here. And I believe that with my whole heart, because I've done plenty of things to screw that up. I've done plenty of things of going 2 weeks without a meeting, or not doing any inventory, or not seeking God, or, you know, shopping my buns off for 2 weeks or whatever. I've done lots of, you know, behaviors where I haven't seeked that God, you know. But what I know about character defects for me is that I can't remove those things. When I say that, I can't say, you know, I can't say, come on, Marion, let's just get over that. Marion, let's just get over that. Here's the deal. If I have the power to remove my own character defects, then I have the power to not drink and drug. That's my opinion, and I might be wrong, but the deal is, I can't wish myself clean and sober. I tried that game. I tried that racket. I'm just going to drink, you know, beer, and I'm not going to drink the hard stuff, and I'm not going to do the white sniffy stuff, and I'm only going to smoke the green stuff and be a hippie and drive my Volkswagen bus, and I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to manage and control all these things in my life. But, you know, so if I can't do it with that, then how do I do that with my defects of character? And really, all my defects of character are, mine and maybe yours perhaps, is a place we've always reacted out of. Jealousy and envy and fear and pride and anger and greed and gluttony and lust and sloth and all those really icky words, you know? The place I've always lived, and I've always been in those bones. That's my fallback, and I tell my girls, you know, that's my go-to. My go-to is pride. My go-to is envy. My go-to is, you know, that's where we've always gone. So it takes a lifetime process of practicing our seventh step to literally, you know, if we do all this work in 1 through 5, you know, we do all this work in 1 through 5 and we're digging deep and we're cleaning out and we're gutting out the fish, man, and we're getting all that icky stuff out so we can fry it, you know, right? And, you know, we do all that, but step 7 is about that. It's like, okay, you know, we do the inventory in 5, we're admitting this stuff to someone, they're pointing it out to us to do our step 6 and to do our step 7. And then where do we take that? It's not like your sponsor goes, okay, well, I'm going to remove envy and jealousy from you tonight. You know, good job. You know, it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. So every day I have to come before my Father. I have to come before my Heavenly Father every morning. And I have to come to Him. I have to come to God. I have to come to that place to be free of that stuff. To be free of anger, to be free of fear. Because it is 100 forms of fear. If I'm being prideful, then I'm afraid. If I'm playing God and I've got to tell you what to do and I've got to tell the world what to do, and I got to tell Facebook what to do, Twitter what to do, and everybody what to do, then I'm just afraid. Then I'm afraid. You know, and Peter and I have this little thing that I go to. You know, there's one of my defects of character that bumps in our life sometimes, mine. And I just, it's like, for me, I just go, let's go straight to the fourth column. I'm afraid, you know, it's just like, I'll just grab him and I'll just say, I'm afraid right now, you know, and really that's what every single character defects goes back to, is that we're afraid. So what is our answer to fear? What's my answer to fear? My answer is, like, if I'm not getting my way and I'm setting it all up, everybody, what they should do, how they should do it, and everything like that, and it doesn't go my way, what am I? I'm afraid. And what am I? I'm playing God. I'm playing God. And you know what? I think he's doing a pretty darn good job without me, you know? I want to be of service and I want to do what he says. But, you know, like if I'm sitting with a sponsee and I'm saying, you know, perhaps this scares me, what you're going through, I don't know what to do. Then that's me taking the responsibility on my shoulders. And if I'm wearing the world like a loose garment and I'm not carrying my sponsee, I mean, I've done it. I've done it in my job. I've taken, you know, taken the whole 20 clients home with me and their fears and their anxieties and worried about them. And oh my God, I'm scared, but how can I control it? You know, because I care so much, you know, and the reality is all I'm doing is I'm trying to play God in the situation, you know, and when I do that, and when I do that with my girls, you know, what I try to be is that vulnerable to say I'm afraid, to be able to say, you know, I've been in that place. I know what it feels like to be there. And so going back to Northwest Group and going back to those, you know, those things, characteristics that were happening in other people. And then I found out, you know, wow, they're not perfect. And I don't know that I like this place because doesn't AA say this? And isn't it like that? You know, but what is that again? What is that again? If I don't like something that's going on here in my home group, or if I don't like something that's going on somewhere else, it's just me playing God. And so what I've learned in this is that place that go to, that place I lean into, is an old, uncomfortable body to be in. It's an uncomfortable body to be in. And when I look at it today, you know, if freedom's a choice, if how free do I want to be? How do I want to live in my sobriety? I want to be able to look myself in the eye, not in the mirror. In the mirror, yeah, we do the makeup and that's the hair. I don't do much to my hair. I mean, shocking. It's just down all the time. But, you know, I have to. I have to look myself in the mirror every day, and I have to look myself in the eye, and I have to look at my own behaviors, and I have to be able to recognize when I'm in those places. And can't we just say, I'm afraid? Can I just say I was dishonest? You guys, the cloak, the word, the beauty of humility is something I'll grasp for the rest of my life, in every area of my life, you know, and, you know, every single solitary bloody time I get up here, I'm scared to death. And what I'm scared to death of is not to death. That's a bad word, but you know, I mean, no, it isn't. I mean, it is, you know, die to self, right? I don't know what I'm saying, but you know what I mean? It's like, I feel real responsibility to pass on what was given to me. You know, this program, it's like, there's plenty of people in Alcoholics Anonymous all over the world that have their way of doing what they do. And I just know what I gotta do. I just know what I gotta do. And I wanna be free in my skin. I wanna be free and desire and want that connection with God more than anything. I don't have to be right today. There's freedom in being wrong when I'm wrong. There's freedom in that for me today. So I wanted to read out of this. It just felt like it was fitting. I have this really old copy of God Calling, and if I dropped it right now, it'd be everywhere. There's a few people who've read in this book with me. It was a really special gift that came to me from this beautiful woman on a day where I was at the end of my rope, and it came in the mail, and she was one of my heroes. And it's really special to me, and it's been read a lot. So this is what it says for today. It says, nothing can hurt. The way is plain. You don't need to see far ahead, just one step at a time with me. The same light to guide you as the hosts of heavens know, the Son of Righteousness himself. Whatever your belief is, your belief. Only self can cast a shadow on the way. Only self. Be more afraid of spirit unrest, of soul disturbance, of any ruffling of the spirit than of earthquake or fire or any outside forces. When you feel the absolute calm has been broken, away alone with me until your heart sings and all is strong and calm. These are the only times when evil can find an entrance. The forces of evil surround the city of a man's soul. So our soul. And are keenly alert for one such unguarded spot through which an arrow can pierce and do havoc. And what are those arrows? Those arrows are all those things in our defects of character, right? Arrows to heart, that don't feel good. Remember, all you have to do is to keep calm and happy. I always get to be happy. Mike's a good example of that, but I love it. God does the rest. No force can hinder God's power. Only you yourself have power to do that. What? Only me, myself. Why? If I'm sitting in that place where I'm playing God, if I'm sitting in the place where my defects of character are all over me, all stinky and yicky, right? My power, only you yourself have power to do that. Think when all God's mighty forces are arrayed to aid you and your poor puny self impedes their onward march. So turn yourself to God. Anyway, I just thought that was really fitting for where we are. You know, we're our own worst enemy, right? Doesn't mean, you know, hey, if you've had a tough day, anybody had a tough day thinking about things you did wrong? Okay. We're not going to drift into morbid reflection or worry. But we're going to do, when we know better, we do better. And even sometimes when we know better, I just want to yell anyway. I just want to say that smart aleck remark anyway. I just want to lash out anyway. I was all prepared for this, you know, ooh, and man, and then it, oh, man, that felt good. I got a dose of humility instead. I fall short of it every single solitary day, but you know what? God's mercy and grace is amazing. So I'm just going to close this with the 7-step prayer. If anybody wants to say it with me, that'd be really cool. My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks, Mary. I love you, boo.
Love you, too.
Let's thank Marion again. And we're going to bring up Heather for the secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Heather, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary.
In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I have asked Mick to come to the mic to tell us what it's like to be recovered.
We are not Mikola, alcoholic. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. We read this to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. 1940-style big book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I get a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is there anyone in need of a sponsor? Please stand up. Okay. Please join us Monday nights for our Big Book study meeting where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship is at 6:30. The Big Book study starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Book, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bell. We have some events coming up, the 40th Big Book Seminar. It's really cool. Joe and Charlie, we got some Saturday Night Live and a bunch of other fun things if you want to do some service and get involved. Spring Fling. Please be ready and see you next week.
If anybody was too embarrassed to stand up, please just see anybody that raised their hand as a recovered alcoholic and have a conversation with them after the meeting. We have tonight's session and all the past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. And I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study. And those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And also there's a 75-foot no vape, no smoke zone. Outside of the doors, there's smoke buckets set up on the side over here. So if you could take your smoking down there and please put the cigarette butts in the buckets. And we're going to go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer. Who takes us from shame to grace? Amen. Thank you, and see you next week. I'm dead.
addictions that I had amount to nothing at all.
little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine.